Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus. So we read about Peter's denials in the Passion narrative from the Gospel of John tonight, but now we'd like to expand on that just a little bit, a few more details from Luke's Gospel about that same account from Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin at verse 60 as Peter makes his third denial. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered, there's that word, remembered. Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. We pray, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's apparent from our Old Testament reading tonight that our Lord takes very seriously the matter of remembering his word. He wants us to remember his word, so much so that Moses, God's servant, commanded his people to bind God's word to their arms. And so the Jews would have these little leather boxes called phylacteries with leather straps that they would strap to their arms, or they would have a frontlet on their forehead between their eyes, strapped on like that, or they would put this little leather box on the side of the door as you enter into their house and as you exit. And inside these little leather boxes were little pieces, bits and pieces of God's word. And the idea is that by binding these words to themselves and to their houses, they would never forget what God had said to them, because forgetfulness is a problem for us, isn't it? So that's one very intentional way that God had of helping his people and causing his people to remember his words. But there are sometimes also some surprising and startling ways that we might remember things, and so too God's economy of things. Like, for example, you know, when you're at home and your smoke detector goes off and all of a sudden you remember, oh, the grilled cheese, I forgot the grilled cheese. Or when you're out, you know, in the middle of nowhere driving along, just tooling along, and all of a sudden you hear that little ping from your car that tells you you're low on gas, and you thought, oh, I was supposed to get some gas. Now I'm in trouble. Or we were talking this morning over at Christ Our Savior in Defiance about car alarms. You know, go out in the garage and forget that the car is locked, and you try to pull on the side door, and all the horns go off, and it's echoing around in the garage and shocks you, surprises you, startles you, you know. Well, in the gospel tonight, when that rooster crowed, something like that was happening. It caused Peter to remember the words of Jesus, but it also caused him to recognize the gravity of the sin that he had committed, his offense against his Lord and Savior. In our midweek services, then, we are looking at the way the Bible uses the word remember. And along with remembering, we always want to keep an eye out for what happens next, for the reaction or for the response to the remembering. And in this case, in Peter's case, the response when that rooster crowed is that he remembered the words of Jesus, that you will do this, and he thought about the treachery of his three denials and felt the gravity of what he had done, and he wept bitterly. But that's the way it was supposed to be. That's what Jesus was after for Peter. And that's why the thrust of our worship tonight is to say that God causes his word to be remembered, sometimes in startling ways, so that we will come to repentance. Now Peter started off that evening with very, very noble intentions. Remember when Jesus said to him, you will fall away, to his disciples, he said, you will all fall away. And then Peter pipes up, good old impetuous Peter, and he pipes up and he says, even though they fall away, you can almost see his dismissive gesture as he points to the other disciples, they might fall away, but I will never fall away. And that's when Jesus said to him, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And then Peter just becomes all the more emphatic, and he says, I will not. I will die with you rather than deny you. And then we read that all of the rest of the disciples, they were probably still miffed at Peter for that little dismissive gesture, you know, the rest of them. They all get on board and they all say the same thing. Oh, no, we will die with you rather than deny you. But of course, those were only words and they had no power to keep their words. But Jesus has power to keep his word. So when he said that a rooster will crow, he set the alarm to go off at just the right time. The crowing of a rooster, much like we might set an alarm on our phone or on our Alexa or something like that, because this is going to happen. The denials, the desertions, the rooster crow, the suffering, the crucifixion, just as the Father had ordained it from the very beginning. And even the desertion of the disciples is prophesied by Zechariah when he said, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Now, I kind of find it interesting that Jesus chose the crowing of a rooster as the sound, the audio alert, the alarm, that would alert Peter to his sin and cause him to remember what Jesus had said. Why did he choose the crowing of a rooster? I mean, he could have chosen some other sound, I suppose. Maybe he could have chosen the sound of a child crying out, Mommy, Mommy, or something like that. And that would have alerted him. Or maybe, you know, maybe it was going to be a big boom of a meteorite that hit close by. That would be the alarm that would alert him. Or maybe it would just be something supernatural altogether, like the trumpet sound from heaven. But no, Jesus chose the crowing of a rooster, which is really interesting because there is a Mishnah, a Jewish oral tradition from the first century, so right at the time of Jesus, that it was forbidden for Jews to raise chickens in Jerusalem because of concerns about ritual purity. The concern was not for the chicken itself so much, but it's their filthy habits and the things that they eat. So, no chickens in Jerusalem and no roosters. And perhaps the Lord chose that particular sound for that very reason, as Peter's special alert, because roosters would not typically be heard in Jerusalem, and in any case, they would not typically crow in the middle of a dark night. So if Peter heard a rooster, there would be no mistaking what that crowing meant and who it was for on that particular night, that it was intended to remind Peter of Jesus' words and to show him the gravity of what he had done. You see, God causes his word to be remembered, sometimes in startling ways, so that we will come to repentance. So for Peter, it was the crowing of a rooster. What sound has God set to alert us to remember the word of God and to recognize the gravity of our sins and to come to repentance? Well, In one sense, you know, God does still send us our roosters, although of a different kind. There are actually some commentators who believe that what Peter heard that night was not the crowing of an actual rooster. They believe that the Mishnah about no roosters in Jerusalem would have meant there just would have been no chickens or roosters in Jerusalem, so Peter could not have heard a rooster crow, but that instead the crowing of the rooster that he heard was simply a man standing by nearby there in the courtyard who was crowing about something, maybe his great golf score that morning, or maybe the great deal he had just gotten on a new ox or something like that, and he's standing there in the courtyard crowing about all of this, and that was supposed to be the signal that indicated that Peter had sinned and to remind him of the Lord's words. it's like a woman might refer in an unflattering way to her husband, you know, that old rooster, all right? That old rooster makes all the noise, but this hen rules the roost, kind of thing, okay? So is that what Jesus meant by a crowing rooster? Some guy standing there in the courtyard with Peter, some nameless man who's crowing about this or that. Is that what the sign that was supposed to remind him? I seriously doubt that. I doubt that Peter would have understood it that way either. I mean, besides, aren't men crowing all the time about this or that? So there'd be nothing unusual about that. All right, so he's bragging up his golf game over there. What kind of a sign is that? That would hardly be an effective way to bring to Peter's mind the words of his Lord and the gravity of his sin. And yet there is something in that interpretation of the crowing rooster that maybe can shed some light on the way God alerts us in our day to his word and to our sin. Because in a sense, I'll just say it, pastors are God's crowing roosters who preach God's law to bring to mind the words of God and to convict us of our sin and the gravity of our sin. Preachers, we read in the epistle reading, how are they going to hear unless someone preaches it to them? And I know a lot of people like to dismiss the preacher as just an old crowing rooster. You know, they don't want to hear the preaching of the law that wakes them up to the gravity of their sin any more than any of us would want to hear a rooster crowing in the middle of the night that wakes us up from our sleep. But preaching, the preaching of God's law is absolutely essential if the full counsels of God are to be preached. We all learned it in the catechism, didn't we? How God's law is a mirror that shows us our sins. And when the preacher is up front crowing about God's law, and the sound of that crowing is piercing and waking you up to the reality of your fallen condition and the gravity of your sin, well, he's doing for you exactly what he did for Peter with that rooster. So if you want to think of me tonight as just God's crowing rooster in this place, I guess that's okay with me. Because even though it may not be the most flattering thing somebody might ever say about me, at least I'm doing what Jesus sent me to do, just as that rooster did what Jesus sent it to do for Peter. And you may not walk away from this pastor's crowing, weeping bitterly, like Peter did. But if in some small way you are prompted to think about a sin, to confess it, and to understand the gravity of that sin and how it hurts your Lord, then this old rooster has done his job. Because you see, above all else, We do not want any of us here or anyone to be among those who are weeping when Jesus returns. Better to weep now over our sins than to be the ones who are weeping when he returns and it's too late. Better that we weep now. So God causes his word to be remembered, sometimes in startling ways, so that we will come to repentance. So please don't be dismissive when the pastor gets up here and he crows about God's law and our violations of his law that by which we stand condemned. Because you see, the Bible says that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached. Repentance and forgiveness of sins go hand in hand. If you think about it, when Jesus set that rooster alert for Peter, when he set that alarm, it's not because he wanted to rub Peter's nose in his sins and in his denials or make him pay for his treachery. Jesus set that alarm because he wanted Peter to be alarmed at what he had done, to see the seriousness of what he had done, so that he might repent and be restored in the forgiveness of his sins. But how could Peter receive that forgiveness if some pastor did not preach it, if a rooster did not crow and wake him up to what he had done so that he could repent and confess and flee to the mercy of God? Thankfully, in the case of Peter, he was not dismissive of the crowing of that rooster, but its sound pierced his heart and his soul, and it drove him to repentance. After which, of course, you know the story, after which came the forgiveness of his sins, when the now risen Savior met Peter on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and had breakfast with him, and three times said to him, "Peter, do you love me?" And then Peter said, "Yes, you Lord, know, Lord, that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep," three times, once for each of his denials, and Peter is restored. He is forgiven. There was no need for Jesus on that seashore meeting. There was no need for Jesus to rub Peter's nose in what he had done. The rooster had done its job. And now Jesus did his job. He did what he does best. And he loved Peter. And he forgave him. And he received him back. And he put Peter's sins away from him as far as the east is from the west. Peter's denials are gone. They are wiped off of his record. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, God causes his word to be remembered, sometimes in startling ways, so that we will come to repentance. And in repentance, find forgiveness, full and free. And so that shrill, crowing sound of the law of God is a good thing for us, just as it was for Peter, because God has given power to the law to show us our sins, the gravity of what we have done, and to bring us to our knees in repentance. And where the harsh sound of God's law works genuine repentance in us, there also is the gentle voice of the gospel, the forgiveness of your sins, because Jesus went to the cross for Peter and for you, and shed his blood and stained the ground, as we sang in that one hymn, that we might be clean. So if you want to think of me or of any pastor as an old crowing rooster, I guess we'll take it as a compliment, especially if the crowing from this pulpit has the same effect as that rooster had on Peter that fateful night when he denied the Lord. Because it is God's will that his word be remembered, sometimes in startling ways, so that his people will come to repentance, and in the repentance they will find forgiveness full and free. And by the way, on a side note, despite that about the rooster in Jerusalem, despite the Jewish prohibition against having chickens in Jerusalem, there may well have been some roosters in town, because what you have to remember is that the Jews were not in charge in Jerusalem. The Romans were in charge, and the Romans loved their eggs just as much as we love them. Hopefully they were more affordable in those days. But there was actually a cookbook that was discovered, first century cookbook from a first century foodie by the name of Asipius. And in this cookbook, written in Latin, there were egg recipes. One was called, if you translate it, spongy eggs with milk. And the recipe calls for eggs and milk and oil and some spices, and then when it's cooked, a drizzle of honey on top. And so they liked their eggs. The Romans had omelets and scrambled eggs, and they had quiche-like dishes that they prepared. They loved their eggs. So there could well have been chickens and roosters in Jerusalem that belonged to the Romans. So we mustn't think that Mishnah somehow contradicts God's word. But in any case, I'll bet when all was said and done, Peter never stopped thanking God for that rooster whose crowing woke him up to the reality of his sin, made him cry in repentance, but then also eventually brought him to the restoration, the forgiveness of his sins. And so let's all of us thank God when we have the opportunity to sit and to hear God's law crowing at us. The law that wakes us up, drops us to our knees, perhaps even makes us cry in repentance, and then drives us to Jesus and to his cross to be forgiven and restored. And maybe that's part of what was behind the words of the psalmist when the psalmist said, Lord, I love your law. I love your law because its shrill sound drove me to Jesus and his cross and his forgiveness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for every opportunity we have to hear the preaching of your word, and in the preaching of your word to hear the crowing of your law that drives us to repentance and ultimately drives us to the foot of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We plead his blood, O Lord, confident that you have forgiven us even as you forgave Peter. And we thank you forever for the crowing of the law that brought us to this recognition. Lord, let your word be preached in its truth and in its fullness throughout this world to the salvation of many, we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen.